Attention, calling all whispering hunties. Oh,
okay.
Hi, I'm Yijon, a self-proclaimed semi-drag race expert.
And I'm Nick. I've never watched it before.
And together we are whispering hunties. Back with a quickie.
Ooh, it's quick time.
I know. So we're not doing two episodes anymore, but we just want to share a little Drag Race memory with you. So please enjoy.
A little featurette that brings us joy. We hope it brings you joy.
Yeah, don't get used to it, but get into it.
Oh, yeah. And then you can reflect on your favorite drag memory at home with your family.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think we had a really rough week last week in terms of the violent massacres that just seem to be so normal now. I think we just need to connect to some joy and life and love. So we have Philip, we have John, and we're going to get into a Drag Race memory for you, baby.
Enjoy.
Because this virus attacks the lungs,
it's never more infuriating when you realize that your life has a price tag on it.
The truth of the matter is, we are in the middle of an apocalypse.
There's no leadership.
I went from being an ER nurse to you're a healthcare hero. I feel like a sham.
Apocalypse Now is a podcast that asks if we are living at the beginning of the end. I'm Joanna Van Thine. Join me every week as I talk with interesting people and decide if we're all doomed. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
So you guys, Drag Race has been such a beautiful part of our lives, and obviously it's brought us together today, but I really want to know, like, what's your Drag Race memory? Obviously we did this last week, but I want to celebrate life, because life is about the living. We're going through these COVIDian journeys. Not everyone's going to make it to the other side, so we really have to celebrate every little bit of every day. Mm-hmm. So can you think of a wonderful, scrumptiously diddlyumptious Drag Race memory?
The clip that brought me into my Drag Race fanship was, before I'd ever seen an episode, I was a baby in college on the old website Tumblr. Ooh. And I'm scrolling, and this clip comes up as a post that is a lip sync from RuPaul's Drag Race. And I click play. I've never really seen any clips from RuPaul's. And it was Dita Ritz versus the Princess. And this will be.
Oh my God. I was like, please tell me you're talking about this lip sync. Oh my God.
Of course. It literally, like, it hooked me in. I was mesmerized, and that's what made me start watching the show. I was mm-hmm. just like, Dita performing in the house down boots, but truly just absolutely killing it. And Natalie Cole was there, and I will always just remember Dita being like, I'm singing Natalie Cole's song in front of her. I cannot f*** this up. And then just like, doing those kicks and just this move that was like the pulling the lawnmower chain.
Oh my God. In those heels, with those legs, you know.
With the iconic shortest bob that ever existed on this planet.
I mean, but only she could get away with that bob with that mug. Like, oh my God.
The mug.
With that
and her
mug.
Teeth, her smile was just like, the energy just like enamored me immediately.
Yeah. 100%.
Brings me joy to still think about. And the princess looked very strange. And I just remember being like, there's a beautiful woman, and then there's this other person with that like head wrap thing. Like she was trying to pull off the Sasha, but not quite pulling enough yet.
Well, I believe that the princess was another one of those drag queens that like shaved her head or whatever. Right? And yes. I think she was she wearing that like outer space outsuit? Like it was like she was wearing a like a leotard that was like silver. Mm-hmm. And it just like, she couldn't really move in it. I mean, I'm remembering like all these details, but Dita was wearing a golden number that was like slinky a little bit. There was like a, it was like the tiniest little mini skirt, like at the bottom. It was basically like a corset and a dream of a dress and then legs, you know, just a whiff.
It was a gold shake and go of a dress and it worked perfectly.
It was like rectangular golden squares or whatever. And it mm-hmm. or like, you know, just like hanging off of like the bottom of a corset. And then it was just her legs with some beautiful heels. And then mm-hmm. she was going, and then she took it to church with a couple of like little mm-hmm. lean backs.
Mm-hmm.
It was talking right to Jesus.
I took it to church.
Oh my God. So Princess didn't have a chance in high heaven when they played a black song with a black drag queen from Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry about it.
Allie Cole. Like they were just like, Princess, go home.
It's literally in those moments on Drag Race where you're like, this song seems so clearly catered to one side. And I'm not mad about it. It just seems like it's so
obvious. Take it.
Like,
yeah.
I remember the princess did like this one moment where she like did these large arms, like one pointed at 12, one pointed at 9. She was like, this will be. And mm-hmm. Dina was just like,
bipping and a bopping. Yeah.
I don't know why this happened, but it was because Princess was wearing like, these very strange shoes. But basically she took off her high heels and so she was just like barefoot.
Oh, I hate that.
During this lip sync. So, I mean, that's like not like numbers off. And I just looked this up. So Dita was wearing a corset and I was wrong about the squares. I think there was just like chains that were hanging at the bottom. So she was literally like, you know, like tucked with this corset on and then these like kind of like football player shoulder mm-hmm. pads with like spikes on them. Mm. And then she was just, you're right. It was just this like little bitty bob of a wig. and she was just so, her body was very, very Simone Resplendent. Mm. And
yes. Yeah. Dita kicked in bucks so Simone could fly, all right?
Yeah. I mean, literally, because you know that Simone can't dance like Dita.
I like that.
Question is, who can she dance like?
Literally no one. Hate to be shady, but, you know. So I'm gonna share a memory that's full of something else that we need to lift up in our community, which is Asian excellence.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna send a little leaky poo for everyone to check out. This is the moment that Manila Luzon walks down the runway in All Stars in that silver mermaid tulle dress with the silver hair that, you know, the sort of like obviously fake diamonds, and she just walked down that runway just
resplendent.
This was also resplendent, yes. Mm-hmm. And it was so good that I believe that she won the challenge that day. And I'm telling you, if she had lost the challenge in that dress, mm-hmm. like the show would have ended. Like the fans would have revolted.
Period. Done.
a point blank period. I just think that you know, one of the real tragedies of Manila being bamboozled out of the competition that mm-hmm. year. Rest in peace. She'll never do Drag Race again, as she shouldn't, because they don't deserve her. The thing about Manila and the reason why she's so successful is because she's just so good at what she does. She knows who she is. She knows her body. She knows mm-hmm. her fashion. She knows how to give you a look.
Yeah, she's got that polish.
Build a moment. And, mm-hmm. you know, and she... She's almost on her own level, I have to say, because mm-hmm. she knows how to give you a lip sync show, you know? Mm-hmm. And she knows how to create a moment on her canvas. Mm-hmm. And she knows how to be funny in her own way, you know? So, like, I'm like, it's just Manila.
Yeah, she's super well-rounded.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, like the Manilas, the Shangelas, the Trixies, the Katias, they're on their own plane. Like, if they were to compete against one another, I wouldn't be like, who's the best? I'm like, who did the best in this challenge? But, like, I'd still want to award.
It would have to be a season where no one goes home.
I mean, literally, yeah. that's what the Queens of the Universe is supposed to be, right?
I don't think so, because that's just, like, I mean, I don't know.
Or is that singing?
How that's going to work. Yeah, that's the singing Eurovision, like, style one.
Oh, no, but they're going to do, like, a winners. They're going to do a winners one where maybe, like, the winners are just, like, showing off.
Yeah, we have no idea what that's going to be like. But, yeah, it's supposed to be happening, so it'll be stunning to find out.
Well, we'll see.
When I think of Manila, I think of her in such drag excellence because, like, her looks, her acting, her idiosyncrasies within all these moments are, it's never just like, you know, there's so many different facets of drag now, like, you know, serving woman, serving comedy, but like Manila, like, will put together a look and it still has some like campy drag aspect to it. You know what I mean? Like her proportions on that, like spaghetti dress, like fashionable. Yeah. And then she's wearing a plate of spaghetti on her head. And like, for me, but that is like essential drag, like,
because it was still so fashionable in couture, but spaghetti. So,
well,
I love it, that's like perfect. That's exactly what drag should be going for.
And you know, the thing about Manila is that she is a cartoon, you know what I mean? She is like, she's 100% just as funny looking as she is gorgeous in all of her outfits. No, but like, but
she can do both. She can,
No. This is actually like a skill. Like there's almost like a caricaturesque-ness to her, even when she's looking stunning, you know? So like,
100%.
So, and when I say, that's what I mean by funny looking. It's not about that she looks bad or like, I want to laugh at her. I'm like, she could be like super sexy, and then immediately like transition to comedy and you wouldn't miss a beat and you wouldn't feel uncomfortable and you wouldn't think like she was trying something else on. Like, you know, she really comes off as 100% of who she is at all times.
Yeah. She seems comfortable whatever she's doing.
And I'm going to be, this is a read, not on her, but on some other queens. And this is what you get when you've been a host at events. Now, not everyone's going to remember this because this is back in the day in New York. But once upon a time, Manila used to work in New York as a drag queen.
That was
almost 10 years ago. So like no one really understands this. But so back in the day, I remember because like I never went to see Manila at like a drag show. Manila was the drag queen that I used to run into when I went to like big gay clubs. And she used to hold it down at this party called the Roxy. And the Roxy was like an ocean of gay men stuffed into a club.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. And Manila was the host.
Fun.
Drunk and God knows what else gay men are like swimming through each other, blah, blah, blah. And Manila somehow appears out of nowhere, you know, in stockings, looking gorgeous. And she's like, hi, everybody. Like, how are you? Do you like the Roxy party tonight? Blah, blah, blah. And she'd like rile up a whole crowd. Like she can talk to like, a stadium of people, hold their attention, and then like turn the party on. And that is what I think we're looking
all
at
about.
You know, like she's seasoned, she's strong, she's worked it out, you know, and I think that's why she came back to All Stars, like just like
one of the few queens to be on three seasons.
But she came back to All Stars like the second time, but also the first time, but like the team thing was terrible, but she came back to All Stars like she'd already won, you know what I mean? Because she took that first Drag Race experience and she ran with it and she traveled the world and she like, you know, she really like, I think she won the drag race, you know?
Yes.
Totally.
By like being able to support her career among the best of them.
And I think we all know like with Drag Race, I mean, it's changed so much over the years, obviously, but the platform, I mean, even if you don't win, you're now given a platform, and plenty of queens don't know how to utilize that platform to, like, do, for example, what Manila has done.
Oh, no, 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 no,
no. You know, like, to take it up and run with it and, like, expand your brand, expand your opportunities. And do you know what I mean?
Like, no, they, no, they don't. No. No, everyone thinks it's just about merch dice and, like, getting into, like, Twitter battles and, you know, I guess doing a makeup tutorial. But, I mean, it's really about the gigs, the gigging and the gagging.
It's the gigs. I mean, that's what builds drag. And so if you can succeed at that, that's really, like, where the artistry all stems from is, like, doing the shows, being with the people. It'll be coming back soon.
Do you know that, do you know that, like, even just to get into A Star Is Born, you know, Shangela had, like, a proper audition. You know what I mean? Like, she had to, like, I mean, I remember she posted the video of how it was after she auditioned. But it's, like, it's the hustle. You know, it's, like, it's getting the gigs. It's booking the ads. It's booking the,
She's in, you know, A Star Is Born?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. The Gaga one. I haven't seen it yet.
Well,
still.
Well, I mean, that tracks for you, Nicholas.
Little, yeah. I mean, it's like there's some gay content out there that everyone's like, oh my god, you haven't seen that, and Nick is like, no.
But there's a lot I have seen that not everybody has seen. So okay, but no, I haven't. Okay. I just haven't watched that yet. Yeah.
Well,
there's no nude scene. Why wait? Why do it? I'm just kidding.
Well,
Bradley Cooper's sexy though.
You know what? I think, honestly,
more full hog in movies.
Honestly, I feel like if there is a way to do a super cut of that movie where you just get, like, the music scenes and just that opening. Well, that opening scene is the drag scene is an opening scene.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Mm-hmm.
So if you can just
watch the beginning of it.
Yeah. Just watch the beginning. Just watch the beginning and just the musical performances. That would be better than the film.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's very long.
Yeah.
It's very dramatic. It's shot really well, but
I've never seen any of the A Star Is Borns, so maybe I should watch all four right in a row.
I mean, I think if you're gonna watch A Star Is Born, I would probably. Well, actually, I think that there was probably nothing wrong with the movies up until the one that was just made, because people really liked the Barbra Streisand one.
Yeah, that's supposed to kind of be like people think it's like the best one or something.
No, the best one is Judy Garland.
Oh, that's the consensus? I thought people loved the Barbra one the most.
We'll see.
What did the other movies go by the same title? Was it the same title always?
I think the first one is different, but then the Judy remake, I mean, I could be totally wrong. Maybe they're all called that, but I have a feeling that I remember I think they're all that the first one is something else. And
there are three. Yeah, there are three called A Star Is Born. And then their first one was called something else, but it's the exact same plot.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Like a solid remake. And then
there is all drag queens in the beginning of each one. And there's alcoholism as well.
Absolutely not, but whatever.
And the next one in 20 years is going to star me, and Desmond is amazing.
Oh my god.
Oh no. Not the Desmond.
Yeah.
So let's just wrap up this section in a minute or less. what is your favorite Drag Race memory?
Oh, my favorite Drag Race memory. I was always like a real kind of solo watcher because I wanted to like delve deep into everything that was happening. But I think the peak of that was maybe like season three. And literally, like, season three is the best season, hands down.
Oh my god, yes, Raja.
every time Raja would come on to the runway, I was just mesmerized. And I think it was like an ongoing thing, especially from kind of America's Next Top Model. And I think I was just a little bit in love. And I think I still am in love, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I just used to consume everything Raja related that I could.
Oh my God, especially wow. For you being a creative, like it must have just been such a like Christmas, you know, to watch Raja come up with these ideas and execute them and then sell them on the runway.
Yeah, it honestly, I just think she is like the ultimate Drag Race artist, and oh. I can't get enough. And yeah, whenever I'm sad now, I just put season 3 on.
I know. Oh my God. And Asian excellent. Thank you.
Yes. Yes.
Full circle. Nick, do you have one, or are you?
Yeah, I can just say a quick memory that brings me a lot of joy. I'm gonna say Kim Chi's finale performance of Femme Fatten Asian. I think it's hilarious. It's also political. It's so totally her. And her finale looks, I mean, especially all of her looks this season. I mean, I think she is such a powerful look and fashion icon. Don't get me started on the makeup. She's one of my favorite queens. So that whole thing was like, that brought me a lot of joy and still does. So.
Oh my God, talk about Asian excellence.
Yes. I love Kim Chi.
And talk about a queen who like literally never looks bad. And
literally,
like,
yeah,
and never. Anyone who wants to try and come for one of Kim Chi's looks is always just like, no, we can't. No,
yeah,
we can't. Like,
and,
no.
It didn't happen on the show, but one of my favorite looks I've ever seen on a drag queen, and probably would have been a winner for like Beast Couture last week, was when she was on maybe it was Extra Lap Recap. I'm not totally sure, or Pit Stop, but she was wearing a teddy bear outfit.
I know this outfit.
On like a cushion.
Oh my god. And she was the cushion. And she was the cushion. And then the teddy bear. Oh my God.
It was only like down to her waist.
Yes.
It was like the body of the bear. That is one of my favorite looks ever on a drag queen. So yeah.
Okay. Oh my God. Okay. First of all, where is Kim Chi in All Stars? Second of all,
totally.
How is it that we all know this outfit? Because it's like one Pit Stop episode. It's like not even, it's unofficially part of the Drag Race vernacular, and yet this outfit is so epic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Epic.
Just never misses an opportunity to be totally stunning.
Oh my God. Well,
I just think of when Kim Chi enters her season and her and Naomi meet for the first time, but Naomi's already been a fan, and she goes up to Kim Chi's face and she's like, this is gorgeous. Every time. Like, yes. This little wave motion she did, yes, on her face, she's like, this is gorgeous. Yes.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, so this has been my Drag Race memory, and heavily influenced by Asian excellence.
Hell yeah.
Well, guys, we're over time, but we are over with joy and love. And
so much.
Philip, if we, the next time we meet, just like send me a little text and be like, are you sure that's the right time? Because you can never trust me.
Yeah. We do not cross international borders. We don't understand what's happening.
Well, no, I just had no idea what time daylight savings, I didn't know that daylight savings has happened. So I sent all these wonderful emails ahead of time and then, you know, whatever. But life, everything changed before my eyes. Okay. So we believe in consensual, but frequent and fervent stalking of our guests. Where can people find you, stalk you, celebrate you in a consensual manner?
Oh, you can find me on Instagram at @OOH_Renette. And you can also look at some Nakey men at Self-Portrait.
My favorite kind of men.
Yeah, the best kind. Mm-hmm. Best kind. And that's about it, because I do not really have any other internet presence, because I'm a recluse.
No, you're not. You are living life the way it should be lived, and everyone needs to just dive into it. Thank you, though.
Yes.
John Jola. Yes. Where can everybody consume the John Jola?
You can find the Corn Jola at my handle is John McNamara with M-U-3-R's at the end, John McNamara.
You good luck spelling that. We'll put it in the show notes.
It's only 26 letters. So it's J-A, no. but I'm on both Instagram and TikTok. You can find me the same name. And yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So it is actually easy. John with an H, M-C-N-A-M-U-R-R-R. That's it. Great.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. I was like, like, good luck.
If you're not watching John McNamara, you're only getting half the story.
I know. And definitely official TikTok roundup is quality content.
Yes, thank you.
Yes. Okay, so we are Hunty Whispering on Twitter, Whispering Hunties everywhere else. We have a Gmail if you want to ask us some questions. Like, subscribe, follow.
Yeah, you gotta whisper at us.
Oh, yeah.
We whisper back.
If you like this podcast, share it with someone you love. Yeah.
And if you don't like this podcast, share it with someone you love.
Yeah. And if you have a negative feedback, keep it to your damn self. Yeah. anyways, we love the both of you. Thank you. Please come back. If you have sassy commentary, send it to us so we can talk about it on the pod. You know what, people? Life is meant to be lived. Be kind to people. Call people you love. And keep your face covered and your hands clean.
Good advice.
Bye.
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 Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Whispering Hunties is not endorsed by World of Wonder, VH1, ICOM, Great Canada, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. RuPaul's Drag Race and Canada's Drag Race and all names, stickers, and audio clips are registered trademarks and or copyrights of their respective copyright holders.
Thanks for listening to the Apocalypse Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, go to apocalypsepodcastnetwork.com. And remember, every time you support one of our sponsors, you're supporting the podcast you just heard.